Because these group of people, there were three families. One of them, his father and his mother and them, and then the other two families, and then the extra, an old lady was kept there, whoever her mother it was, one of the three men. And they had three teepees in the group. And that fall, he says, in the fall, when we went up the river to go winter camping, as we leave the village, we began to notice that we couldn't kill anything. They said, we didn't know it themselves. And then he says, they had this very limited supply of processed food from the store where they charged it for their, you know, account. And after a month, perhaps, or sometimes they left into September. And September can be still summer in October to 15 or 20. So it's at least a month anyway. We stayed there in the bush, which is not far from the York factory village. And he says, we begin to see, feel this strangulation or starving almost, because nobody can kill any food. Everybody cannot kill anything, even the rabbits, even fish, and even beavers, or anything whatever they trapped or hunted, they could not kill. So they began to experience starvation. And it was in a week or after 3 weeks in time that their provision was getting dwindling down. And apparently, because that's what his father tell him. And it was that time when they were really feeling hungry that they said to themselves, you know, which one of us caused this? Nobody said anything first. Though if they finally knew that there's something wrong, one of us is doing something wrong. So they began to talk with each other and try and remember what did they go wrong. So there's one man finally talked. And he says, well, the only thing I can say me is for that I have insulted a man from up the river somewhere, an elder that I have done something wrong with him, and I am sure that he is a mitteung, and I have insulted his dignity. And for this reason, he is punishing me, and along with you people. So they said, well, this cannot go on. We cannot go starving. We can't even trap if we don't have any basic food to go with. And we can't even catch the fish. How are we going to survive? This person is going to kill us. Apparently, it seems like he's not going to let up. So they said, what can we do? The three men and also the others, they talked about it, you know, how can we defend ourselves? So they began to talk about the beard and dream quest. So they said, is any one of us ever dream about using the shaking tent? All three of them has a formation of dreams about the shaking tent. But exactly how they use it is something they didn't actually have it clear in their mind. So one of them did have enough for him to try to use the shaking tent for the defense. So they finally coaxed each other. They said, let's build one. So they built it the way the person had dreamt and the way he heard and the way the stories went. And then he just followed the instruction that he had heard. And after it was done, he says, I cannot go in alone. And this structure, and this teepee structure that we make, it's for offensive use, defensive and offensive. It says it will have lots of power. It will bring a lot of power if we can survive at all. And he says, I will go in, but I need someone to assist me inside or to come with me. So he picked up his partner, and then he left John's father alone. He says, you could stay here outside. Just in case if we don't go through with this, if we die, at least you will have manly power to go home and report and then take our families back. So it was agreed. And they also depended upon this old lady that was there. So she agreed to sit there and watch. So John says, that's how my father described it. So sure enough, once they established the shaking tent, and then the two people walk in, say farewell to each other for the good luck and everything, because they were not sure if they could do it.